All right, everybody, what's up? It's your boy, Dennis Oparo. Welcome to the Journey Podcast. And I'm so excited. I'm really excited today because I have the first person I'm featuring on the podcast. And you guys know that, like, for me to make this person the first, it has to be really awesome. So with me right here is Solomon Abe, a photographer and creative director at Afe Studios, one of the like biggest photography studios here in Warri. So if you're in Warri and you're listening to this, then you need to know that this is for you. So hello, Mr. Solomon.
Hey, Mr. Obaro Dennis, how are you doing?
Very fine, very, very fine.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. So I have this passion to help creatives, you know, become the best that it can be. And I feel that we have a lot to learn from you. So I'll just start by asking you the first question, which is, can you tell us your journey thus far? Like how you started this, you know, photography thingy and how you took it from where it was some years ago to where it is now. Like, we'd love to know how you accomplished so much in the journey.
Okay, thank you very much. I started photography about 11 years ago, I think 2009 or so, yeah. A friend of mine, we were in school together in Uniben, and after I dropped out, actually. Not a lot of people know about that. Yeah, I dropped out. I was studying English and literature then. Then I had studied law in the University of the Gambia, my third year. So when I left Uniben, one of the holidays, I think that was even the first holiday actually we had. So June 2009, I came back to Nigeria and I hooked up with one of my friends that went in Uniben together. So I didn't even know her dad didn't photography. So she said she's at her dad's office. I said, where? She just called the place and it wasn't even too far from my house, like 10 minutes walk actually to know how close it was. So I said, okay, no problem, I'll meet you up there. So we were there and I was like, oh, I would like to work here during my holidays,
okay,
and get paid. So when I met the dad was like, you have to learn how to do this. You know photography, you like photography or you like art in general, but you still need to get this skill before I can even start yourself. So that's how it went, and I paid and I started training it there. So I did the whole of my 3 months holiday, summer holiday, I spent it learning. Then after which I got a camera, I went back to Gambia. Then I was taking pictures of everything I saw. Yeah. So I was trying to do the 1,000 shots in photography. Not the 10,000 hours.
Okay, yes, to get better at something.
So,
exactly.
But for us, we call it, not everybody, shall just... some few of us actually, we call it like you have to put like 10,000 pictures before your first job. So for you to get really good at what you're doing, so you have to do like 10,000 shots. So I did that, and I've been doing that since then. I'm even still learning to date.
Wow, so it's a continuous process.
Yeah, definitely, learning is continuous.
So sir, you said something. I would love to like ask something from that.
Yeah, that's great.
You said you did 10,000 like shots. Yeah. Have you been able to do the 10,000 shots, or you're still
in my
trying?
10 years? I think I've done over close to like a million shots already.
A million shots, okay.
Close to.
So I want to ask this question for somebody that just started photography, right?
Yeah.
And probably I want to go specifically into portrait photography.
Yeah.
How do I get 10,000 people or 10,000 shots, like? How do we, say we'll just be seeing someone alone and just be like snapping the person, like how do
so
we...
Basically the 10,000 is actually a practice time. It's not even it's not you in the job.
Okay.
So at least you have to have done a lot of good, like get a great body of work. You don't just become a professional just by just taking pictures randomly. So first of all, you study, get a good body of work, and in order for you to get that, you have to collaborate with some people.
Okay.
You know, you're upcoming, they're upcoming. If you have opportunity to meet people that are not even upcoming, that would be great, because at least they know their beans already. So when you collaborate with people, you get to improve yourself. That's very, very important. So get a body of work first. Then
get a body of work first. Okay, I heard a lot from that. All right. So now, sir, we're still moving. I want to ask this question. So I've done my 10,000 shots or 10,000 hours, and I've become good, like, to an extent in this photography thingy. How do I now get clients, like, to start, like, saying, oh, let's get shot from this guy? How do I start attracting clients? Is this something I might want to attract them, or do I reach out to them? How do I start getting clients and start making money? Because, you know...
Making money is very, very important, yeah? So how do you get clients? If you're really creative, your work would find... Your work would bring... Would attract the kind of client you want. Mm.
Mm.
You get?
Yeah.
You understand? So, first of all, do the art based on you, what you love doing. That's first. The people that like what you do would come to you.
To you, wow. This is profound.
And on that, I would say consistency is key. You understand? Be consistent. Don't do this today, then tomorrow, oh, some people are doing that. So I'm moving off from what I was doing to something else. So, like, I trust most people to stick to a particular style.
Okay.
If you go through my Instagram, you see that a lot of my works, they're not similar, but they are not the same, but they have a bit of, they have a pattern, they have similarity. There's this photographer I respect so much in Nigeria, Ahmed Bileme. The guy is the only photographer, not the only shot, but he has a specific style.
Mm.
His pictures are teal and green. Teal and green, yeah, I think something like that. So when everybody is doing this, it's just on that style. And he's been there for a long time. And like, he has shot a lot of celebrities. A lot of, from Tiwa Savage to Wizkid, to, there are a lot actually, has done a lot. And it's the same style. Another person is August Udo. There was a time I was just doing a series on black and white. His pictures were just black and white.
Black and white.
You understand? Those are people that are really creative. And if you really want what they have, you're not going to tell them, oh, I want, for example, August, you tell him, I want to do this and... can I go on?
Yeah.
Okay. You cannot just tell him to change my style, change your style because you get...
Yeah.
But on that note, though, I get a client come to meet me and say, "Oh, I want you to do this style for me." If I won't reject the job,
yes,
just because it's not my style, yeah, I won't reject the job, but I won't publish it as my work, so I can do it without my watermark.
Mm.
You get. Mm. So back to how do you make money? Like I said before, body of work, that's your portfolio,
yes,
would speak for you. You get. Then. There's something I learned a lot of years ago. It's very, very key in my business, yeah? It's HIP, HIP. It's an acronym, actually.
Right.
So, HIP, the H means humility, I, integrity, and P, profitability. So, for humility, you have to be humble to a fault, yeah? Just humble yourself. Pride comes before a fall. Humble for you guys that are Christians, yes. Yeah? So, you know that already. So, integrity... This is very, very key in all aspects of life and especially your business, yeah? You have to be known for someone that has integrity.
Integrity. Okay.
You understand? So, when you do that, like, a lot of times, if I have to even share stories about integrity, we won't finish here, but it's very, very important. When you tell someone, I'm going to be here by 11 o'clock, 11 o'clock, should, at least you should be there before 10:45. That's me, actually. And everybody knows... Like, everybody I work with, they already know that, oh, this guy doesn't joke with his time, or doesn't... If you borrow money for some from someone and you tell the person, I'm going to pay so-and-so date, pay. You understand? And if you can't even pay, at least a day or two before that, they let the person know, I can't meet up with this, but please, just extend the date by so-and-so. If you have to deliver a job at this particular date, you keep to that. Just find a way. And even if you can't, just call the person. You understand? Then they will know, yes, this person has integrity. It's not like, oh, they'll stop chasing you like those tailors that you give clothes in for your you give, yes, them your Christmas clothes and you get them like
next year
June or something, you know. So that's it. Then the last one is profitability. In everything you do, you have to make money, man.
Yeah.
It's very, very important. Money is key because definitely if you're hungry, my brother, you make a lot of decisions that you end up regretting. You understand? And make money. That's key. Make money. So, on that, any other question?
Yes, and then you from when you're speaking, I can hear something that's so clear to me. It obviously shows that you did a lot of studying, even beyond like actually working on your photography, like getting better at what you do. You did a lot of study, like to become where you are right now. So I want to ask, like, how often do you study? Like, how often, or do you read books? Do you watch videos? Do you listen to audios or like things that help you improve? And if you do, how much do you do them, like daily, or is this something you do weekly? I would just love to like just get to know that.
Okay, I study a lot, actually. I do. During this lockdown period, I always tell, I told a lot of people, I said, this is the time you just strategize for the next phase of life, because life as you know it now would change.
Yeah,
that was during the lockdown. Like, a lot of people will lose their job, not because they don't even know what they're doing, or there are a lot of things would happen, you understand? So there are a lot of uncertainties. So just try and study even stuff that are not relating to your feed. So for me personally, I studied a lot. I studied on negotiations. I studied on a whole lot of other... Okay, I'm starting a music studio soon. So I'm studying on that too. I studied a lot of things about a lot of... In short, there are things that I don't even... I may not need now that I just study about, because I don't know when the knowledge would be needed. You understand? So I'm just prepared for anything. So I wouldn't say that there's a particular time when I read or study, so I can just, okay, I study almost every time. So it might not be really like, oh, going to study a particular thing. For example, like it's not a coordinated kind of reading. So or learning rather.
Yeah.
So it's just picking bits and pieces from different things. So every day, every time, I learn something. Mm. You understand? Mm. So I watch. I read books, I watch videos, listen to audiobooks, ebooks, a lot, yeah.
And so I believe that all
so
this,
not just photography, yes. Just everything. Anything that I think is worth reading or worth learning from, I just key into it. Like almost every evening I watch a video or two about dogs.
Oh,
funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I just there's this infographics show. I just don't know why I always watch their videos. At least once a day, I watch one or two videos from infographics show on Facebook or YouTube. Yeah,
YouTube.
So it's just there.
Okay, so sir, you said something that you're keen on like time management, and
very
like
positive.
I believe as creatives, and I'm speaking like from a personal angle now.
Yeah.
When I started, doing all these designs and stuff like that, I wasn't meeting up to time. So what I want to ask now is, how do you think we can manage our time, especially someone like you, that you're a music director now, you're going into that space, you finished you studied law, and you're fully into this, your photography stuff, and I don't even know what that means.
I still practice law too, though.
Still practice law,
yeah.
Wow. So how do you manage all these things? Because it looks so much, right? So I just want to know, how do you manage them and effectively manage them?
So I'll start my own journey, because this is a journey thing, yeah? So it's very important. Okay, I do a lot of things. Even while I was in school, yeah, I was doing photography. I had a full-time graphics designing job, actually. And what else? I had a lot of things. And when I was in my final year, usually our course load is 6 courses per semester. And I had a lot of carryovers. I had a lot of... There were some courses that I thought I wasn't supposed to do, like calculus. And I didn't do it in my first year till my final year. So I had about 12 courses to do, and I was supposed to just do 6. That's the required minimum.
Mm-hmm.
So I spoke to my course, the guy that is in charge of the whole stuff, and I told him, see, I can't do an extra semester. So I have to do everything in that particular semester.
Wow.
And I still have my job, you understand? I still have my office work. I still have photography, because I was doing freelance photography, so I know, like, I was working with somebody, but I could be called
anytime.
I still have everything to do. So when the guy agreed for me to do the 12 courses, the first thing I just did was I had a timetable, a very comprehensive timetable of everything I do.
Okay.
So I have time to go to class, time to go to my office, time to go to read. So everything that, okay, then I was also selling stuff too. Yeah, I was hustling, like, I was selling, I sold pants and bra to my, yeah, to my classmates, perfumes, stuff like women dresses and stuff, yeah. Because my landlady's daughter had goods from the US, so when she, when they bring the goods out, just have to go sell to my classmates and coursemates and, yeah, and bring back the money. So then I had everything, that's why I started planning and I started managing my time better. So I told myself, if I had done this in my 5 years of, when I was in school, like I would have made like a first class or so because I actually really planned. And it stopped actually. So I kept on planning that way because I knew it was very, very, see, going back to planning, going back to HIP, integrity, for you to meet up with time management, you need to meet up with time management for you to have integrity. You understand? So so that's that. So I made sure that I had a comprehensive list, or ensure the comprehensive to-do list. So for everything I do, even till date, I have a comprehensive to-do list. So when I wake up from Monday, I do it the day before. Okay. Or sometimes, because all my things are on my diary, so I already know in advance what I'm going to do most of the time. So you understand? So a week or two, I already know what I'm going to do on Monday from this time to this time to this time to this time. So even this class that this kidney that we have
it's been planned.
It's scheduled for a particular time, yeah. And after which I have something else to do. Okay. You understand? So I manage my time so well that it doesn't clash. A lot of things don't clash. Yeah, a lot of things.
So please, if you're listening to this, don't feel you have too much to do. You're just not planning. Right. Yeah. All right. So, I want to ask a question, and I feel it's something we all can relate to. What, I don't know if you've had a situation like this before, but what happens when you do a work for a client and you know that this work is really nice, excellent, but then your client is like, I don't like this, and to you, you have been able to meet up with all the client's needs. Or maybe something similar, like what do you do, like those down moments, what do you do? Because those things really kill our morale, they kill morale that. So I would love to like ask, like, how, what do you do, like, when that happens? Or like, I don't know, yes, what do you do when that happens? That's basically the question.
That's, it's a good question. And it's tricky, but not really. Okay, the thing is, they always say customers are right here.
Mm-hmm.
But in the real sense, or as regards to this, a lot of times they don't even know what they want. Mm.
Wow. Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So the thing is, client education is key. A lot of business people don't put that into cognizance. They think their client knows what they want, but they don't. A lot of times the clients don't even know what they want. So before you even get to the final product, you ought to have educated your clients well enough to know what he or she wants. I don't know if you if you get what I'm saying.
Very relatable.
Yeah. So it might not be an actual I don't really like, oh, this is like relationship.
Mm.
When you have a relationship with your client, then you can even, then the client would respect what you're giving. I don't know if you understand.
Yeah, I guess you.
Because they trust you well enough that they can even send you to even run their business because they think you know what you're doing.
What you're doing, yeah.
I have clients that would, okay, they can even let me run their own office because they know I know what I'm doing based on the relationship that we've had on other things. I don't know if you understand. So that's respect. So like, making money from business is not even having a lot of clients. You can. There's some businesses that service just about two or three clients, and they make their turnovers a lot. I don't know if you understand.
Yeah.
So managing your clients well to that extent, whereby the client respects whatever you're telling whatever you're dishing out. You understand? That's key in business.
Okay. All right. writer. So now, still on this, like, yeah. I was privileged to meet you working, like, before this podcast,
yeah.
And I could clearly see how you related, like, with the lady you were shooting, like. So I want to ask a question. I could see how she was smiling. She was so happy with the experience she had here. So I want to know, is that something, like, you would say you were born with, or is something, like, you developed over time, like, this relationship with, like, clients and making them feel so good about themselves, even beyond just the product, but the process, they really enjoy it all the way. So is that something you learned over time, or you think you just had it right from time?
So a lot of people actually think that I am a snob. Like, if you don't know me, you think I'm a very, very proud person.
All right.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people perceive. Is that a vibe I dish out? I don't even, I don't think I dish out that vibe, actually. But no. I get it a lot from... when I, like, they'll say, I didn't know you're this cool. I don't know if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
That brings us back to humility, yeah? H?
H, yeah.
Yeah. In the hip. Humility. Humble yourself. Okay. You saw me when I was changing. I was trying to help her wear her shoes.
Yes, exactly.
You saw me when I was trying to help her lace her shoes.
Yeah.
You saw me when I was telling her, do like this, do like... Because... I've actually... Okay, this is the first time I'm shooting her. But although we've been talking for a while now, yeah?
Okay.
But the thing is, treat your client as king.
Mm.
It's very important, yeah?
Yeah.
See? Now, they feed me. So, why will I not be shaming? Why will I carry body for you? I don't know if you get. You understand? So, I always try as much as possible to bring myself to the lowest of position. You understand? Just bring myself so low and... Just let myself down to the least. So there's nowhere you should. There's no place lower than down, right?
Yeah.
So just bring yourself, humble yourself.
Humble yourself.
Because with this, the way you treat your clients, that's how they will tell people, and that will bring more clients to you, right?
Mm.
Like this guy. See, this guy is just it's just beyond getting dressed and coming to do a shoot. This is it's marketing.
Yeah.
But it's just subtle that you don't even you that was not even the person I was treating got the vibe.
Yeah, I did.
Like, I would want this guy to shoot me because look at the way he was taking care of this person. I don't know if you get.
Yeah.
So next time you tell somebody, that guy, go to the guy's studio now. When the guy finish with you, you understand? So
yeah.
I still do it for guys. Even when I'm shooting a wedding, yeah. Sometimes I even do the best man job. I like, see, I would adjust you. I would help you wear your cufflinks. I would help you do this and do that, you know? You get? You make them feel comfortable. Make them feel relaxed. Make them feel like the king that they are. And in turn, they would preach your gospel.
Mm. The clients do the talking.
The clients do the talking. I really don't do a lot of marketing. Most of my clients are returned clients. They're people that... in short, most of the clients, they do my marketing for me. They move from being customers to clients. Oh, I don't know how it works.
Yeah.
So it's not just a one-off. Most of my jobs are not one-off. And they too bring people to me.
That's what means that you're doing an awesome job.
Well, that's not for me to say. Maybe my clients, maybe interview them and ask them about me.
Yeah,
they probably would
yeah.
give you that.
Okay, all right, Sal. So I want to like round this off.
Okay.
But I want to like ask you, or I want you to say something like, what would you just like from your heart, what would you say to an entrepreneur or a creative that's just starting out and wants to make a difference in this game? Because that's basically what this podcast is for, you know. Letting creatives, you know, make a difference and stand out. So, like, just a word for us. So.
Consistency. Sure, I don't even have one word. I have a lot of words, actually. Although I would have actually arranged them in a particular... but I don't have it arranged. So, let me just... Consistency is key. Like I said before, always stick to... See, know what you want to do. Stick to it.
Mm.
Keep doing it. That's on one side. Apart from consistency, knowledge absorption is key. Learn, you understand? Always learn. And don't just rely on YouTube, please. Because that's something a lot of people just do.
Anybody can go to YouTube.
Everybody can go to YouTube and do a video and do something and just tell you, do it this way, do it this way. Yeah. But still, there's a role for mentorship in business. Especially for the young ones. They don't seek mentors, actually. Get someone to mentor you. Learn from their mistakes. Because a lot of times, you would not know what's in front of you. But if someone has passed that road before, they will know that, oh, there's pothole here, so you can... That's how I drive, actually. So when I'm on the express, like, if I'm driving, and most times I drive behind a transport company because they run that road a lot of times, so they know where the pothole are, where the spot holds, you understand? So they'll divert. So when they're diverting, you know to divert too, not running straight into the pothole.
Yeah, exactly.
So get a mentor. So learn, get a mentor, and be consistent. I think those are key.
That's good to go.
Those are key.
So thank you very much, Solomon Abi. And I just want to say this to anybody that's listening to this podcast. Please, this is something, it's way beyond my expectation, and I'm sure it will be beyond your expectations too. Keep on playing it. Don't stop playing it. It's something that would help you as you go in your journey. Thank you very much for... Wait, before I say that, sir, where can we find you? Like, what platform, social media platform, where can we find you and see some of your works that, you know, I've been talking about?
Okay, on Instagram, AFE Studios. AFE Studios. On Twitter, I don't really tweet much though. It's AFE_Studios. Okay, wait, rewind. On Instagram, I have a personal page. My personal page is Solomon Abi.
Alright.
SOLOMONABE. No space, no comma, no dot. Just Solomon Abi. Then on my business page is AFE Studios, AFE STUDIOS. No space, no comma, just AFE Studios. Yeah, some people pronounce it AFE.
AFE,
but it's AFE. It's an acronym actually for Aspire for Excellence.
Mm.
Yeah, so I'm still learning.
Bagam.
Yeah, so that's it. Twitter at AFE_Studios. Or just search for Solomon Abi on Google, or you find me.
You're gonna find him. So thank you guys very much. Stay blessed, stay safe. Tune in to the next episode of the podcast. And I'm so sure that sometime in the future I'll be able to, you know, feature Solomon Abi again, and he's going to talk about mentorship and things like that. Alright. Goodbye.
Thank you very much.
Alright, guys, what's up? It's your boy Dennis Abar, and you know, welcome to the Journey Podcast. So I just want to say some things real quick before I dive in into the topic for today. First of all, I just want to say last episode of this podcast with Solomon Abi was real crazy. And I just want to say a big shout out to everybody that listened to that episode. It was so mad. You know, I got a lot of reviews. A lot of people were like, oh my God, this episode was mind-blowing and stuff like that. I'm like, what? Shit getting real. And the second thing I'm so excited about, like, I just want to say real quick, is Apple finally accepted this podcast. Like, one of the reasons I didn't release the podcast sooner rather was because Apple, I don't know, they deform, you know, they don't want to really accept them, but now it's there and it's so cool. And I just want to say this thing too, you know, your boy Finna Glover now, like, I think I can say that because I have streamers from UK, US, I think there's one other continent, I'm not so sure, you know, or country that be streaming my podcast, you know, and I'm like, hey, the boy goes soon blue. But then it's not for me to blow, actually. The whole reason for this podcast is, you know, it's the passion and the goal to help creatives and entrepreneurs, young entrepreneurs, to become the best they can be. So what I do basically here is I share insights on my journey as I grow, and I get people, you know, that have had like great journeys to also share their journey stories. So that's basically what this podcast is about. So yes, let's dive into what today's episode is all about. I got switched to Pidgin because the title of the episode is not Pidgin. Chop. The name of the episode is Chop. Chop criticism. Yes, I think I got it right. Criticism. Yes, that's it. Chop criticism. So why the name? Why the title? So this is it. Now, I've realized that if truly you want to learn and you want to grow as a creative, you have to, you except chopping food and chopping some other things, you know, you have to chop this thing called criticism. See, you need to love them. You need to love them, die. If you even pay people safer just to criticize your work, man or babe, whoever is listening to this, you better think of it. I'm telling you. Now, listen. I've seen a whole lot of creatives. Let me now narrow it down to designers and photographers too. That, you know, if you, they have been doing things for a very long time, but you notice that they have not improved and they're not learning. Or you see some people that they release a song and it asks that guy, how far now you spy the song? That guy will say, hey, oh boy, you kill him. And the song was nonsense. The song not make sense. Now, the truth is that if nobody is criticizing you or telling you like that this stuff, you can do better at it, then you're not going to grow, because you're going to be thinking that your work is excellent, is good enough. And in reality, it's not. You need people, you actually need critics to critique your work. Now, you know, I think I should have done this before I even started this episode. What is criticism? Criticism is the expression of disapproval of someone or something on the basis of perceived faults or mistakes. Another definition for that is the analysis and judgment of the merits and faults of a literal or artistic work. So now this is something I do. After I've designed, like, I do it sometimes, actually a lot of times, when I do some designs and, you know, and to me, I feel they are good, like, mind-blowing, I just give it to, like, one or two of my guys who are, like, you know, artist-minded or creative directors, I think I could say that. And I realize that sometimes when they check the work, they're like, ah, guy, this thing not make sense. This thing is not like this. This thing not too pure. And anytime I hear words like, this thing not make sense, or it's not too pure, to me, what I'm hearing is that, yes, I have a chance to make this work even better. So that's why I feel that, you know, criticism is something that, like, we all need to embrace. We need to chop up. So now, on to the next thing I want to say is how do we take, you know, criticism? Now, if your intention is to learn and grow, you need to take criticism. That one has been, like, settled. Now, this is something that I must say. You are not your work. Now you create the work, yes. Now you create the design. Now you snap the picture. Now you sing the song. But you are not your work. Be passionate when you're making it. You know, be passionate. Give out your time. Give out everything when you're making the piece of work. But listen, when you're about to receive criticism, hey, you know what I'm trying to say. When you're about to receive criticism on the work, be detached. Tell yourself that you're not the work. They are trying to say that work can be better. And you are surpassing, you can become a better designer. Now, the more you get, the more people criticize your work, you become better. Like, you keep on growing, you keep on getting, and it gets to a stage whereby your work will now, like, there's no such thing as perfection. We all know that. But it gets to a stage whereby, like, people can even say your work is excellent. Let me use the word excellent. Whereby there will be literally little or no critic to make on your work, be it design, you know, makeup or whatever. Now, one thing that I want to say that I've noticed with young creatives, I've been wanting to say that for a very long time, sounding like I'm old already, especially, let me not say especially, like, my experience with this makeup artist, you know, anytime I, like, she does a makeup, and I tell her, like, okay, I think this, your makeup is cool, you know, it's awesome, but I feel this, you can do better at this, you can, and she could only say, hey, why you gonna tell me, say, it's because of, like, trying to defend, what I'm trying to say, a lot of people like to defend themselves, and when you have that defensive attitude, bros, you ain't gonna go far. It gets to the point that people will not even want to correct you about anything again, because they just know that, this guy, you're always going to be defensive, you're not going to listen to what we're trying to say, and most times people just, like, leave you. So please, always be open-minded to receive criticism. And now, finally, I'm going to just say this. Now that you know that receiving criticism is very important, you need to learn how to give it to people to help. Because, you know, as Davido said, we rise by lifting others. And even Wiz, he said, you know, together we push. So we're all in this together, you know. There's an Ice Cream musical song like this. We're all in this together, yeah. So now, how do you like dish out criticism? It's so simple. When someone, let me assume someone sends you a piece of work and is like, hey, what do you think about this design? You could first start by looking for something that actually makes sense in that design and be like, okay, I think the colors are cool. I actually like the colors. Then when you've said something positive, because that's what we call it, positive criticism. When you've said something positive, then you start bringing out the faults. But when you're bringing out the faults, you're bringing out in such a way that you're trying to, like, it can be corrected. Like, okay, I don't think the text you use is okay. I feel you could, you know, you're trying to tell the person how to do, or like better ways the person can do this or something like that. Then when you're done criticizing the person, because obviously the person might actually feel bad sometimes, you could just say, you could end with something positive, like a positive thought. Overall, I think this design has a lot of potentials, but right now we're not just hitting the mark yet, right? So please learn how to receive that criticism before you start sending your work to a client and at them because they criticize you. Guy, that one had a pin pass. So it's better you, what I would advise now is have a crew, have a, like a group of people that y'all collaborate together. You could just like, see my English all this sweet too. So, you know, have a group of people that y'all could just collaborate together, and like when you do designs, you take pictures, or you just do something, like just reach out to them. Hey bro, what do you think about this? Is it cool? Is it not cool? Simple and short. So now, so it just the work. I feel that we should actually start taking this thing seriously. Move the chop arm. The chest arm. Tick arm. True. So yeah, please subscribe to my podcast. You know, more amazing content like this will be coming. You know, I plan on featuring some big names, right? I don't want to even call them now, but like over time, I'm featuring some very, very big names in like the industry, right? So yeah, take care, one love, big shout out. All right, everybody, what's up? You know, it's your boy Dennis Obaro. Welcome to the Journey Podcast. It's been long since we had an episode, finally. Yeah, it don't really take. A lot of things have been happening, that's why I've not been able to like make an episode. So yeah, welcome. So today, basically, what I want to talk about is something I feel people don't really talk about it, right? Or I think I've not heard about it a whole lot. So if I'm going to give a tag to what I'll be talking about today, it will be beyond your skill. Beyond your skill. So last week or 2 weeks ago, I was privileged on working with a brand. So I was asked to create the brand identity and stuff like that. So it was a major deal for me. All right. So I put in my whole efforts, you know, gave them, you know, back to back, was giving them stuff and all that, right? They were feeling the whole process. But during the end of the whole creative process, when I got them all the logos, I kind of said something to the CEO, and she was like, she got pissed at what I said. She would like get pissed, because to me it was a normal stuff. So she called me and we talked about it. She was like, she had other jobs for me, but based on what I said, that she doesn't think that she would want to continue with me. Despite the fact that I blew her mind, like I gave her outstanding brand identity. The whole team, they were like crazy, like this is awesome and stuff like that. But just one little thing I did, you know, just turned that down. So basically what I want to say now is beyond your skill, there are other things beyond your skill. I think personally, anybody can, there is nothing you're doing right now. You know, wherever you're doing, designing, photography, anything you're doing, there's nothing that you're doing that somebody cannot do. Like, there's nothing you're doing that somebody cannot learn how to do. So what makes you stand out? Now, a lot of times people will always say, work on your skill, become the best that you can be so good that they can't ignore you. These things are totally true and fine. Yeah, I even myself, I know it's very necessary to improve your skill. But beyond improving your skill, I feel we should start working on other things as creatives. One of which is our relationship, how we talk to people, how we interact with people. Because I saw this quote somewhere, not so sure. Your skill will get you hired, but your work ethics and some other things will get you promoted, something like that, yeah. And those, some of those work ethics or things that people look out for is how you relate with people. Now, let me give you a scenario. Have you ever, like, wanted to, like, sew your clothes with a tailor, and the way the guy was talking or the girl was talking just turned you off? Fine, you could see that this guy is really good at his craft, but the way he relates with you, like, it didn't resonate with you, it didn't make sense, and you know, as good as he is, you turned him down. So that means that I think in terms of priority, your skill is necessary and cool, but something that is even goes beyond that is how you relate to people, how you talk, how you interact with someone, like how you just make them feel, the whole experience they have when interacting with you, right? So I feel as creatives, we should take these things more seriously, try to improve ourselves on how we talk to people and how we like just basically relate with our clients. So I'll recommend this book for you. I'm staring at it right now, but y'all can see it, you know. I started reading, like, some while back. I've not finished it in how many months now, because I've been reading some other books, basically. The name of the book is How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. I just hope I got that right. So the book basically talks about relating with people, you know, something that we just need to know as creatives. It's a major game changer, being able to interact with people very well, being able to make those cold calls. You might have the skill, but not you might not be confident enough to sell yourself. Like, I have this guy that was telling me that, he got a client and he wasn't really able to talk to the person very well because he was feeling intimidated. These are things that we should really work on. As for working on our skills, if not, we'll just continue working for low-budget clients and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's basically it. Please, work on how you talk to people. Work on your relationship. You know, those or things like that, work on things like that, and let's get it right. So while you're trying to improve your skills, you're still improving this thing. All right, so I just want to say big thank you to everybody that listened to the last podcast I had with Solomon Abi. It was so crazy. The feedback I got from you guys was like overwhelming. Everyone was like, they learned a whole lot from me, man. Like, even personally, me, I've listened to that particular episode six or seven times. I have listened to that episode a whole lot. It's so crazy. You can't, if you have not listened to it and you're listening to this episode right now, you should check it out. And I just want to say a big shout out to everybody listening to my podcast. I have some viewers now from UK, US. I have some from, there's this foreign country that I don't even know, check. And two other countries like that. So it's really mind-blowing. And finally, before I put an end to this episode, on the next episode of this podcast, I'm having someone special that's going to share with you his journey. And, you know, I'm just going to tell you the person straight up. He's a popular entertainer, lawyer, MC, and events host. And his name is Timi Agbaje. Yeah. So if you're a student of Obafemi Awolowo University, you're obviously going to know him because he literally was the best in his craft back then. So if you're a public speaker, YouTuber, you sure just want to make a difference in along that line, that this episode or the next episode that will be out after this one is definitely for you. So big shout out. Thank you. Love you so much. This episode is not so long. So listen to it and please share with your friends, share with your family, share with your enemies, because everything I just said now makes sense. I know. All right. Thank you. Bye. All right, everybody. What's up? Welcome to the Journey Podcast. Chee! And you know, it's about Dennis Obaro, the host of this podcast. And you know, the vision of this podcast remains the same forever and always, helping creatives and young entrepreneurs become the best that they can be. Yeah, that's basically it. So big shout out to everybody that has been listening to my podcast thus far. And shout out to everybody that listened to the previous episode that I had with Solomon Abi. It was so nice and overwhelming. A lot of people reached out to me and they were like, oh my God, they were so blessed from that episode because they learned a whole lot and like it really helped them in their business or their creative journey. Yeah, so scrap that. Moving on, let me jump right into the topic of today. So basically, today what I want to talk about is something, I was looking for like a tag to it, but this was the only thing that came to my mind. And I'm tagging it beyond your skill. Yes, beyond your skill. So what do I mean? Now, let me start with this. There's this popular saying that says, be so good that they cannot ignore you. And like, I That it makes sense. It makes a whole lot of sense. Like, be so good in your skill that they can't ignore you. So true, yeah? But let me bust your brain. You can be so good. You can be so freaking fucking good. And you still get ignored. Why? Because your skill is awesome, top-notch, but you lack things in other areas. And basically, one of the things I want to be talking about today in this particular episode, there's so many things, but one thing that really hits me today is on the issue of public relation or how we relate with clients. So now here's the thing. We've seen whereby people that are not as good as we are or you are, whoever you are listening to this podcast, and you see them handling big jobs and you're wondering, how far now? Now, let me bust your brain. It's not just their skill. Obviously, we have already said that they're not as good as you. So obviously, we know it's not their skill. But then, how they relate with people, how they talk to people, how they talk to big clients. So now, let me give this story, the whole reason why I'm even making this episode in the first place. So I was privileged on working with a client for their brand identity, one very big company here in Warri. And I was asked to create the logo and all. So the whole process was mind-blowing and overwhelming. They loved everything I did, like from the onset down to the delivery. It was like the whole team, they were like, this guy is good. And I was, they feel myself. So I kind of like said something. Because me and the clients were already become, I felt that we're not tight now, we're now close. So I now miss, like, I took the whole client interaction or relation that we had, and I was trying to like shift a little bit to friendly conversations, which was really wrong. And I said something that upset the CEO, and she got really angry. Like she literally called me. She was like, she had other major jobs for me that she would have wanted me to even do the job for her dad, but because of this thing, I said that she's having a rethink on it. Yeah, by God's grace, she thought on it, and obviously, you know, I'm still gonna be the one doing it. But that's not what I'm trying to talk about. The whole thing is that how we relate to people matters a whole lot. Now, has this thing ever happened to you that, okay, you've been to a tailor or a fashion designer to make your clothes, and the way the person was relating with you or talking to you, it not really makes sense with you. Despite the fact that the person's clothes or the person's sewing skills is renowned and makes a whole lot of sense. But the way the person related with you, you didn't like it. And a whole lot of people have been turned down because of simple fact they don't know how to relate with people. They don't sabi talk. So sometimes you might be so good and a client approaches you, you don't know how to have a conversation with the client. You can't hold a cold call with a client. And most times you see that you might really have a very awesome skill. Like you're really good, but that's not all that matters to all these high-paying clients. Fine, your skills will get you noticed in the first place, I know. But beyond that, things that will take you far is how you relate to people. So basically, what I'm trying to say is that while working on your skill, still work even more on like your relation with people. Because in the first place, what will even get you more jobs is how you relate to people and things like that. So basically, this whole episode is just like to say, while working on your skill, trying to improve your skill, know that there's something beyond skills. There are so many things beyond your skill. But the one that I'm really talking about today is how you relate with people, how you talk to clients in particular. Now, I'm going to recommend a book for you guys. I'm holding it right now, but y'all can see it because obviously it's a voice recording. The name of the book is How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. I think I pronounced it correctly. So yeah, I started reading the book some while back. I stopped because of some like a lot of activities going on now. Yeah, but based on the few parts I've read of the book, it's really important that it's going to help you in relating with people and stuff like that. So yeah, please check it out. And if this podcast has been blessing you in any way, please share it with your friends, share it with your family, share it with your enemies, because this is something that I feel they can learn a whole lot from. Yes, 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 exactly. And finally, before I end this episode, so I have a very big announcement to make. Oh my God. So in the next episode, you know, I'm going to be having somebody share their journey on the podcast. And this is not just anybody. This is one of the biggest public speakers, MCs. And to now top it all, he's even a lawyer. He finished with first class from law school. So he's basically telling us his journey on how he was able to like achieve so much and still finish with first class in law school, so many things like that. So if you're a public speaker, you're a YouTuber, we talked about some YouTube stuff too, and we talked about a whole lot of things. If you're a public speaker, a YouTuber, and you just want to sharp, be better at what you do, along that line, that episode is for you. It will be coming out sometime next week. So yeah. Make sure you tune in to the Journey Podcast, and please make sure you share this episode. I love you guys so much. Stay blessed, stay safe, and make great waves. True.